a word of hope, a word of comfort, a word of peace, a word of joy, and a word of love during this Advent season. And for those who are grieving, speak, Lord God. Speak and grant them comfort. And as we gather here today, Lord, we do not know what tomorrow brings. Certainly we do not know what tomorrow holds, but we know, Lord, that you have it all in your hands. So we're trusting in you. And now take hold of me to preach and put me on behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are the God of hope. You are the God of peace. You are the God of joy, and you are the God of love, our Redeemer and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And as I see Ellen Giafrida here, our condolences, Ellen, in the death of your mother. Her mother passed away several weeks ago. And our condolences, our continued prayers. Amen? And so my sermon title today comes out of the text, Prepare. Prepare. And Susan, you're going to work with me. All right? Yes, prepare. And you see on my, I do have a little clip art telling you to prepare, right? And we have been preparing, some of us, haven't we, for Christmas. We prepared for Thanksgiving, and now we're preparing for Christmas. I'm not preparing. I don't have to worry. I'm preparing in the church. We're preparing to get the church ready, to have music, to do what we're going to do at Christmas Eve. We are preparing, and we have prepared the altar. We have got so many likes. Even our bishop saw it online and wrote a like about loving the altar. I saw it on Facebook. So many of my colleagues, we are preparing, and certainly the blues and the purples remind us of the richness of the Advent, time of expectation, right? We are preparing, and people are going to be preparing for New Year's Eve. Preparing, right? We hear now that Times Square is going to be open again. You have to have a vaccine and whatever your card and all of that, but it's going to be in Times Square again. Folks are preparing to have fun and preparing to have excitement, and we are preparing to be in debt, aren't we? We don't think so. After we had Black Friday and small business Saturday and Cyber Monday, and I don't know what they call the Tuesday, but there's a name for that too. But, you know, a week of shopping, people have been preparing. But our text is talking about another kind of preparation, isn't it? We see in the prophet Malachi, we read, and the prophet says, the coming messenger, right? The coming messenger, next slide, the coming messenger. And it says, see, I am sending my messenger. I should read from my slides that I say the same thing. But yes, my second slide is what it means to prepare. Am I right, Susan? Yes. What? Yes, that's right. What the Webster Dictionary, making sure I have it in the same order. The Webster Dictionary states, to prepare is to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use or activity, to prepare, right? To prepare is to put in a proper state of mind. To prepare is to work out the details of a plan in advance. The detail of a plan in advance is to prepare. And so we read in the prophet Micah, Malachi writes, the coming messenger, he says, see, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Amen? And he's telling you this, that the Lord you seek is certainly coming to his temple. So prepare. And we're going to find out what it means to prepare. Because in this text, it's talk about preparing for the Lord to come And when you're preparing for the Lord to come, we have to prepare ourselves. We are expected to prepare ourselves. Amen? And so we see the prophet Malachi telling the children of Israel they should what? Prepare. They had been praying and weeping and asking for a Messiah. And the prophet is telling them, prepare. Prepare for the one who is coming. The messenger is coming. Next slide says, prepare. Prepare again. Because when we look at the New Testament, we're going to see John the Baptist speaking about the preparation. John the Baptist, we know John the Baptist is said in Luke 3:3-6, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, right? And so John the Baptist would be the one who would come to prepare the way of the Lord, right, among the people. So how did he prepare the way? Did he clean the streets, right? It continues. How did he prepare the way? Did he get up and did he mow the lawn? Did he clean the streets? Did he buy dresses and clothes for the people? No. John the Baptist's preparation was, he says, the Bible says he went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, right? So John the Baptist came speaking about the forgiveness of sins. So he was speaking to us, right, that you have to prepare yourself because God is coming. God in flesh will be coming on the scene. You could pause there with the slides, please, Susan. God in flesh is coming on the scene. So John the Baptist comes and he wants them to know you must prepare yourselves. Friends, so the word is for us today. The word is for us today that we must prepare ourselves, right? We must prepare ourselves. We must prepare our hearts, right? We must prepare our hearts. The slide will say that, Susan. We must prepare our heart to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We must be baptized, and we must repent for the forgiveness of sins. And how first, how do we get baptized? We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believers. Babies are baptized. As I told my confirmants yesterday, we have two forms of baptism, so to speak. We baptize infants, and we baptize adults, right? And so, as an adult, we must be ready. And so, in order to be baptized, we must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's getting our hearts ready. And then we are baptized. And then we repent of our sins for forgiveness of sins. John had some harsh words for his listeners, words that caused them to sober up and turn their attention to God. It's a good word for us today. So I read this little reflection that said, just think about this. When you drive long distance, as some of you just did for Thanksgiving, it is so easy to be lulled into a state, right? Just lull into a state of not being there. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'd like you to imagine this scene. You're driving down the freeway, and your mind is 100 miles away. You're thinking about all kinds of things. You're thinking about the time you just spent with your families and friends. You're thinking about the conversations you had, things they said that made you mad, things they said that made you laugh. You're thinking about how much you ate and how long it's going to take you to fit back into your clothes. In fact, you're so lost, You're so lost in thought that it takes you a while to realize that there is a highway patrol coming up fast behind you, and the lights on the car are flashing. Immediately, your mind snaps back into the present. Your heart starts pounding. Your foot automatically goes off the accelerator and over to the brakes to release the cruise control, which is set well above the speed limit. Your eyes are riveted on the speedometer and then to your mirror. Every nerve in your body is wired for action. You are completely alert. Your attention is riveted outside. And then what happens? As you sit there and you're waiting, then words cannot describe the extreme gratitude you feel when the highway patrol moves into the next lane and zips past you down the freeway. That is what you might call a sobering experience. A sobering experience. Friends, that is exactly what God has in mind to prepare us for the experience of Christmas. There needs to be a sobering. There needs to be a snapping to be in order for us to prepare the way. There needs to be a waking up, a coming to complete attention. As the Old Testament prophet of Malachi writes, "For he is like a refiner, a fire like a fuller soap." That God himself is like a refiner. He's coming to refine each person. Like a fuller soap, he's coming to wash every heart, right? To purify the descendants of Levi. God is coming to take care of us. God is coming again in Christ. God is coming one more time in Christ, as we are reminded that this time of year, it's not just about shopping and doing things. It's about remembering why Christ came into this world. That's what Advent is about, right? We think it's only Lent that we remember these things, but that's not true. Advent is a time, that's why some of the scriptures in Advent seems so, it's not all joyous. It's a reminder to tell us that we must repent of our sins, because Jesus came into the world so that we might be saved. How do we prepare our hearts? We prepare our hearts by accepting Jesus Christ again. We prepare our hearts by being reminded that Jesus is Lord. And so essentially, that is what is happening when the people go to hear John the Baptist out in the wilderness. That's exactly what the words of John the Baptist accomplished. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The Lord wants us to prepare. And he says, and the crooked shall be made straight. That means if you're crooked, we shall be made straight. And the rough ways made smooth. In Advent, we can change. Our rough ways can be made smooth. Do you know that one of the hymns of Advent says, it is, "Have thine own way, Lord." One of the hymns of Advent. Why? Because we're telling the Lord to have his own way again. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me to pray. Times are hard. We have lost loved ones. We have to cry out to the Lord, help me to pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. And the fourth verse says, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. So during Advent, folks need to see Christ living in every believer. Amen?
Amen.
When we go shopping, when we're on the street, when we're driving, folks should be able to see Christ living in us. Amen? I know sometimes we are driving and the road is full and we get a little bit of mean and we want to do things we ought not to do. I know, because I'm on the street too. And if you go to the shops now when things are happening, certainly you tell people to put their mask on and they don't want to. You could get into a fight. You have to keep your mouth shut. Please keep your mouth, leave folks alone. And you want to do that, you just keep praying and let the light of Christ shine in you and shine through you to someone else. Be extraordinary nice during this time. Say thank you and God bless you. If God bless you is not your thing, say thank you. Say please. Right? And let the light of Christ shine in us. Because if we do not become a nation that does that, we will continue to be killing each other. That young man who killed five of his other students in his classroom, a hurting young man who was in a bad state, that evil would take over his heart. We need to be a praying nation, to begin to pray, to begin to seek God. Advent reminds us, there are five families who are burying their dead today. And this has happened over and over and over again this year. All that we're doing is not working because we've stopped praying. I tell you, it has happened to this nation the day they took prayers out of school. I think people could do meditation or pray, whatever, whomever you believe in. Take a moment to reflect on God. And the moment we took it out of school, we have been seeing this, the evil has taken over our young people. We need to be on our knees praying for them, whether we know them or not. Pray for every city, every state, every part of this nation. My God, Christian believers, God expects us to pray and to seek his face for our nation, for our children, for our communities, and for our world. That is what Advent is about. And so my final slide, which I hope will put a smile on your face in the midst of it, it says, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. And then I saw this little one that says, you know, when you go to these little conventions, they give you a name tag. And my name tag is, hello, I am prepared. You could have the same name tag, hello, I am prepared. Amen? Because we are going to be prepared. When folks see you, hello, I'm prepared. Then they'll say, prepared for what? And you says, for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God.